Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse number 7. Read down through verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 3, and beginning at verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. We're going to stop right there. Let's pray today. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. I pray that you would continue to move by your Spirit right here today. I feel your Spirit, Lord. Oh, I pray you'll touch hearts and speak to them today about their need of salvation or a closer walk or a deeper experience with you. We want you to have your way in this service today, Lord. We give you the glory for it and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to preach to you today about God's voice and man's choice. The Lord gave me this sermon some time ago. I didn't get the opportunity to preach it. I really felt, as I was praying yesterday and today about today, it seems like it's been a long time since I got to preach to you. Of course, I get to teach Sunday school. I had some outlet, but it's been a while. Amen. So hopefully I won't keep you too long today. Amen. I want to preach to you about God's voice and man's choice. Amen. You know, the glorious message of the Bible is that God has spoken. Amen. He didn't have to talk to us at all. But God has spoken. God took the initiative to have dealings with man. Amen. After all, God created man. So, I mean, we wouldn't even exist if God had not created man. So, I mean, there was no reason other than that he wanted man to love him and have fellowship with him that he created man. And then when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it was God who made the coats of skins, and it was God who promised redemption. It was God who provided the system of sacrifices for the covering of sin. And then when you move on in the Old Testament, it was God who told Moses to build the tabernacle and gave him the plan for the offerings, the sacrifices, the furnishing, every bit of it. Man, I'll tell you what, when you get reading in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, all of the detail that God gave about the tabernacle, it's staggering. And Moses never dreamed any of it up on his own. It all came from God. Amen. God was the one making plans for sinful man to be accepted by him. He was the one who was doing the work. And finally, he took the ultimate step and sent Jesus Christ, his own son. Amen. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at sundry times, or various times, and in divers manners, or in many different manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Amen. God has spoken. Amen. He has spoken through the sacrifices of the Old Testament. He has spoken through the tabernacle and through the prophets. And now he has spoken through Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, the marvelous grace of God. Amen. That in his sovereignty, God decided he would provide salvation for man. Amen. We cannot comprehend how impossible it would be for us to make our way to God. God had to take the initiative to make a way for man to be saved. And so the Bible said that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. And it was God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. But in that key verse, verse of the Bible, we find again that there's two parts in this matter. God so loved the world that He gave. That's God's voice. He spoke Jesus Christ to the earth. He gave. But we also read, whosoever believeth. That's man's choice. Amen. God's voice and man's choice. God does speak, but man has to respond. Oh, that is so true. I know it seems elementary, but it's true. Amen. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. There it is again. Grace, that's God's voice. But faith, that's man's choice. Amen. God has spoken salvation to the whole world from the time that Jesus died on Calvary all the way through these hundreds of years to where we are now. And however much time we have before the end comes, God has spoken by His grace. Amen. But man has to choose to believe. There must be a response to God's voice. Amen. We must be saved not only by God's grace providing it, but by our faith receiving it. Well, John said in that verse I read to you, God loved the whole world. He gave His Son. But not everybody in the world saved. And not everybody who lives in the world will be saved. Only those who hear His voice and make the right choice. Amen. Oh, it's great to rejoice in God's sovereign grace that brought to us salvation. Amen. We sang about it today. And we ought to rejoice in that, because without God's sovereign grace, it wouldn't even be available. Amen. It's great now to rejoice in man's free will to choose. I mean, after all, when people tell me, John is born and he's predestined by God, he's going to be lost and go to hell. And Jim, he's born and he's predestined by God, he's going to be saved. And Jill is born and she's predestined to God to be lost and go to hell. And Susie is born and she's predestined by God to be saved. I say, ooh, man, I don't like that. That doesn't seem right. So I rejoice in the fact that man has a free will to choose. Amen. I rejoice in God's sovereign grace that brought salvation, and I rejoice in man's free will to choose. But we must be careful not to take God's voice lightly, amen, and take our choice too heavily. Amen. What happens is we oftentimes go to the other extreme from the predestinationists. They make it all God's voice and God's choice. And we make it all man's voice and man's choice. But there is a balance in between. Amen. We cannot exercise man's choice without God's voice. You need to hear me today. Amen. We cannot exercise man's choice without God's voice. In my text I read to you, verse 8, he says, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice. Verse 15, he said again, today, if ye will hear His voice. Amen. And in both of those verses, you'll find the word immediately after that is harden. Harden not your heart, he said. So Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, who probably was Paul, amen. But when he wrote that, he was referring back to history in Israel, and the Holy Ghost spoke to Israel and said, today, today, you need to hear God's voice. And when you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. When we talk about having a tender heart or a soft heart, we're talking about a response to God. But those who hear God's voice have a choice to make. Amen. And they can either hearken to what He's saying, or they can harden their heart and they can control their response and they can restrain themselves from answering. And by doing so, they're making a terrible choice. Because you only get to make that choice when you hear God's voice. Amen. You remember the familiar story about the Pool of Bethesda. It gets preached about a lot. And rightly so, because it makes so many great points about our getting blessings from the Lord. But I want to point this out to you today. The Bible said that whosoever first stepped in was made whole. Whosoever. So there was no restriction placed on who was able to step down in the pool. All right? And the Bible said they were made whole of whatsoever disease they had. So there was not a day for the lame, and another day for the blind, and another day for the leper. And they said, now today, no one with leprosy is able to get in. This is only for the blind, or this is only for the lame. Or no, you can't get in. It's only for men today, and no women are allowed, or only children are. No, there were no restrictions on whosoever or on whatsoever. But there was a restriction on whenever. Now, is that right or not? Amen. The whenever was, the Bible said that at a certain season, an angel would come and trouble the water. Now, it didn't matter who was there, and it didn't matter what sickness they had, but they couldn't get help until the water was troubled. Amen. So it was for whosoever, and it was a cure for whatsoever disease, but they could not choose the time. Amen. It was not whensoever. A guy couldn't sit there and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to get in today. I'm going to get my healing today. I don't care what happens. I'm going to get it and just get in. There was a certain time. And who decided that certain time? God did. Isn't that right? That's a vital point in that story. Amen. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen. So he's talking about a time that is an acceptable time, now that is a proper time, a right time. When is the accepted time? How do you know when this is the time? Now, I know in a large sense that now is the time as far as a dispensation of time. Amen. From the time of Calvary, God has been calling out through His Son for sinners to be saved. I know this is what we call the age or the dispensation of grace. And I know it has extended now for 1,000 and more years, almost 2,000 years, as far as time in the world is concerned. But your time, when is your acceptable time? Your acceptable time is when you hear God's voice. Amen. Whether you're at home or in your car or sitting in a pew in this church, and the chances are better. Now, there's no denying it. The chances are better you're going to hear God's voice in this place more than you are on the job or at home or by the lake or in the mall. But whenever God speaks, that's the accepted time. Amen. When God's voice is heard, that is the accepted time. Amen. Felix one day heard God's voice through the preaching of Paul, and he heard it so strong he trembled. It shook him to his innermost being, but he said, go. Go thy way. Go thy way for this time. And when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And that's the way a lot of people want it. Amen. They do not want to come to God on God's terms. They reserve the right to call on God when they want to. They have decided, hey, anytime I want, I'll just call on God. I'll get what I need. I won't die lost. I'll call on God. You know, before I die, I'll go on to heaven like the thief on the cross. Hey, I want to tell you what. You cannot determine when your time will be. Amen. It's arrogant for anyone to say to the preacher or to the Spirit of God, either verbally or internally, go your way for now. I don't want to respond now. But when I have a convenient time, when I decide this is what I want to do, I'll call for thee. You ever said to anyone, don't call me, I'll call you? In other words, I don't want to do what you want me to do. You leave me alone about that. And if and when I ever do get ready to do that, I'll call you about it. There's a lot of people doing that with God. But I want to remind you today, you don't have that power. Amen. Because God's voice is just as vital as man's choice, and more so in that you will not be able to make a choice until God speaks. Amen. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Amen. God reached reaches down by His Spirit at certain times and draws for hearts. Amen. Don't tell me things happen in your life by accident. There are times that people haven't been to church in years or months anyway, and all of a sudden they feel like they ought to go, and they show up at church. Why? God is speaking to them. Amen. There are times that they haven't read the Bible in a long time or haven't come to the altar to pray, and they feel the prompting of God to step out and obey. I'm telling you, when you hear God's voice, that is the time for you to make the right choice. Because if He's not drawing, if He's not wooing, if He's not dealing, you cannot brazenly save yourself. Amen. We have a choice, yes we do, as to whether or not we respond to God's voice or reject it. Amen. I'm telling you, if preachers, myself included, if we had the power to somehow force people to respond and be saved, we would absolutely do it. I would. Amen. There's some of you here right here today, I'd have already forced it if I could have. But I can't. I guarantee you some of you here today, mom and dad would have forced it if they could have. And there have been times I have been in services where some people really, well, I don't fault them too bad. I mean, they were concerned about the soul. I mean, I've seen them actually pull. They talked to them, and that didn't work. And they get them by the arm, and they're pulling them out. I've seen them bring them to the altar and kind of force them down there. But whoever made up that old saying, it's true. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Whew. That old saying about passed away right there, didn't it? You can force somebody to come to the altar, but you can't make them get saved. And that's why it doesn't do any good to force them to come to the altar. Amen. Because we have the choice when God is speaking. We can either accept and respond, or we can reject what He's saying. It's our choice. But we do not have the power to cause God's voice to speak to us. That is totally out of our control. I do believe that if a person has got away from God and they get serious about trying to get back to God, I really believe that when they seek for God, God will speak to them and hear them. And I'm going to tell you what, you do not have the power within yourself to force God's voice to speak to you. It's totally out of your control. Amen. You better take seriously the times when God's Spirit deals with your heart. Amen. When you hear the preaching of the Word and you feel the conviction of the Spirit. Some people work the other way around. They think in their mind, if I can just hold back for a few more seconds, this urge, this feeling will pass and I'll be all right. If I can just wait for a few more seconds, if you'll just stop asking, if I can just hold out. And they spend their time deliberately fending off, warding off the conviction of God. But I'm going to tell you what, the day is going to come when you'll be asking God, please, can I feel your conviction again? Lord, I want to feel that. You know that feeling I used to get, and I'd be frustrated because they wouldn't stop asking, and I was wanting to get that feeling off, and I'd hurry outside. Remember that feeling? Lord, would you please give me that one more time? I'd like to have it again. In the Song of Solomon, the beloved came to her door, knocked on the door, called to her, open the door, it's I. And she made excuses and said, oh, it's too much trouble. I'm already in bed. I've already washed my feet. I'm already in for the night. It's too much trouble. She never said it, but what she's thinking is, he's gonna come back another time. Just, come back another time. Right now, it's not convenient for me. Just leave me alone for now. And she's thinking in her mind, it won't matter because he'll come back tomorrow. Well, after a few seconds of silence, she decides, really, I love him and I really ought to see what he wants. And so she goes ahead and gets up out of bed. She goes and puts on her robe. She does put her sandals back on. She goes to the door, but now when she opens the door, he's not there anymore. Now, when the Lord's knocking, you get to choose. Will you open the door or not? But you don't get to decide when he knocks. You can't say, now, Lord, I'm going to church today and I want you to knock. You can't do that. Let me read to you from Jeremiah chapter 11 and I'm closing. Beginning at verse number 6. Then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. And here's what God said. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting and saying, obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers. So what God said was, remember, back in those days of Israel's early history, I protested to them. I talked to them. I got up early in the morning and I told them what I wanted them to do, and they wouldn't do it. So I punished them, and exactly like I told them I would, for them not listening. Now, guess what? This generation, they've turned back to the same iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. They went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I have made. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them when they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Now that, my friend, is a sobering thought. It's so easy for people to say to God, I hear you, but I'm not interested. But when we're crying out and God is not interested, it's a whole different situation. I tell you what, I hope and pray nobody here ever gets to the place that they have rejected God's grace to the point that when they finally decide they need to cry out to God, I can't imagine any more horrible feeling in this world than to be unable to hear God's voice. Oh, I know you don't care a whole lot right now because God's voice is trying to tell you stuff you don't want to hear. You want what you want. And right now you don't care, but your day's coming. I'm telling you, your day's coming. You're going to want to hear from Him. It's going to tear you up. Let's stand today. Brother Matthew, come play something if you would. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I want to remind you today that God has taken the initiative to speak to you. You're here today not by accident, but by the plan of God. And God has spoken to you. You need to respond today. You've heard God's voice. Now you have to make your choice. Are you going to surrender your life to the Lord? I'm not talking about knowing about salvation. It's one thing to know about it in your head. It's another thing to experience it in your own heart. What I'm asking you today is, are you going to surrender your life to God? Are you going to quit hedging? Are you going to quit resisting? Going to quit pushing Him away? Making excuses, delaying, procrastinating, putting it off, whatever term you might use. When are you going to quit doing that and respond to the voice of the Lord? Are you going to wait until the time comes that He isn't knocking anymore? What a horrible shape it is for a human being to be in the spot where they cannot hear God's voice. Lord, I pray You'd speak to hearts right here today. I feel like You have. I felt Your Spirit. I know, Lord, this is a sobering thought. It's a serious matter. I'm praying, Lord, that right here today there will be someone, hopefully even more than one, someone who will hear Your voice and realize that they need to make the right choice. That while You're dealing with them is the time for them to respond. The only time that they can be made whole of whatsoever disease spiritually that they have. whatever their sins have been, whatever their waywardness has been, whatever their rebellion has been, they can be delivered from it today, Lord, but only while You've troubled the waters. And I pray You'd help someone today, Lord, to step into Your grace and be saved by Your power. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you pray with me today? Every saint in this place, would you pray today? Would you pray like it's someone in your own family that's lost that God's trying to reach this morning? Because I feel the presence of the Lord. I felt Him in here myself this morning as I prayed. And I feel Him here today. My, I felt Him in that song the trio sang to us today. Now you need to respond. I'm talking to you. How about it? Will you come? It's not a matter of shaking my hand, giving money in my offering, signing my book, joining my church. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about will you surrender your life to Jesus and make Him the Lord and the Savior of your life? How about it? You know the Lord's dealing with your heart. You know you're not right with God. You're not where you ought to be with God. If your life was over today, you know you're not ready to go. You'd be frantic if you really thought something was going to happen to you today and this was your last day to live, because you know you're not ready. You're not ready for the Lord to come. You'd be beside yourself if you really were convinced. If I get up here and told everybody the Lord was coming today and I knew for sure, you'd be beside yourself in fear because you know you're not ready. It's time to stop playing games and surrender your life to God. How about it? You're hearing God's voice, and now you're going to have to make a choice. Will you choose to surrender today? Why don't you come? Come on, step out of your seat. Make your way down to this altar and say, Lord, I want You to take control of my life. I know I'm lost. I know I've sinned. I've come short of the glory of God. And I know the wages of sin is death, but I know the gift of God. Hallelujah. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Lord right here today. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you come? You need to make things right with God. You're going astray. Have you stepped aside from the true right path? You know you have. The only thing worse than admitting you've made a mistake and praying about it is refusing to admit it and go on in it. That would be even worse. How about it? The Lord's talking to you today. You can feel it in your heart. You can feel it in your mind. You can even feel it in the anxiety of your body. You feel it. The Lord's talking to you today, and the devil's trying to hinder you, but you need to make your choice today to obey the Lord. How about it? Are you going to come? We're all going to come pray here in a moment. There's somebody who needs to respond while the Lord's speaking today. Hallelujah. Let's everyone come this morning, find a place to pray. Let's seek the Lord. Amen. Some of you brothers don't mind to pray with this young man that's come. If you needed to come and you didn't want to come by yourself, you ought to come to the altar right now. Spend some time before the Lord. Oh, you need to pour your heart out to God. You can't just be halfway. You got to go all the way for the Lord.
Don't harden your heart.
Hallelujah. He loves you. He's talking to you. He's dealing with you. He's worked in your life. He's already brought you to this point. You need to fully respond. Hallelujah. Have your way, Lord.